Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, I guess our listeners know that we just almost always have problems with our Skype connection. Some say we should use Zoom. And Zoom wants me to pay them money. So when they stop wanting me to pay them money for long meetings, I will possibly try Zoom. Right now we have Skype, and we're having fun trying to get connected as usual. One of the worst problems we had, by the way, was when we had Jacques Vallée on the show just a few weeks ago. Jacques, being one of the grandfathers of the Internet, couldn't get the Skype connection to work with him. And at the same time, our guest co-host, Kurt Collins, who's back with us tonight, we couldn't get his connection to work. So I don't know. We must have sent out some bad vibes. Our guest this week, Barry Greenwood, we had a little difficulty with him because his connection was coming up under a different username, which is a Microsoft plot. Do you think Microsoft has a plot against people involved in the UFO field, Barry?
Well, it sure sounds like it, because I never used that name that they had indicated was my contact. I had an entirely different address, so it's really weird, but we're connected now.
And it's a very good connection, so we're really glad to meet you at long last. I know we've both been in this thing for a long, long time. I don't recall that our paths have ever crossed before.
No, I don't think so. I remember for years ago, but I remember your name. I remember you, you know, working in the subject and all, but no, we never spoke or contacted.
Of course, after this, you may decide that that was the better idea. But all seriousness, like many of us, you got interested in the subject really young. What, 10, 12 years old?
Well, 11, right in between.
Me too. What led you to pursue this crazy path?
That's a long time ago. I think it was mainly because I had an interest in the space age at the time. You recall the astronauts were really popular, and we were just getting into space during those years. And because I had that interest, I would look for things related to outer space, space travel, and so on. And in 1964, I was reading a newspaper, and there was a story about a cop in Socorro, New Mexico, who had seen a strange object and occupant standing beside it, and he didn't know what it was. It was a very oddly shaped thing for an aircraft. It was egg-shaped, and it was standing on legs and all. No, it's not that there are completely unknown vehicles made during that time that, you know, stood on struts and may have been kind of smooth-shaped and all, but this object scared the cop, and he didn't know how to deal with it. The beings or creatures or men who were standing beside it, he said, jumped in, and the thing took off with a blast of fire and moved away. That somewhat impressed me. It was the first time I think he had read about a UFO incident. Prior to that, the years, I think between about 1959 and 1962 or so, were regarded as the Dark Ages by former NICAP assistant director Richard Hall, mainly because sightings weren't being reported as often as they had in years past. This event in 1964 really grabbed me, and I was fascinated with it, and I wanted to see if there were any more reports like that. I visited libraries and checked the bookstalls and drugstores, as I did when I would come home from school. And lo and behold, there were other books on the subject, some old and some fairly recent. And I discovered that there were many other incidents like that, similar to that, and some rather different, and some involving the military. So that I guess you could say, kickstarted me into that direction. And from that point on, I had never stopped looking for information on the topic. As the 60s went by, I was close to graduating high school, and I figured that there was difficulty in finding reliable information on UFOs. There were lots of books out, but not a whole lot of them were very reliable. So I was determined to locate that reliable information and try to pull it under my umbrella and assess the subject with that sort of data, which I felt was probably a lot better than most people were reporting. So I guess you could say that branched off into a direction where I was interested in collecting and archiving the subject. So I began that, and many books accumulated. I started subscribing to some of the publications out there of varying quality that dealt with UFOs. As time went along, it just built up. I reached a point during the late 70s where I wanted to specialize in something. The subject was very broad. In the early years, it was easy to deal with. I think at that point it was only about 16, 17 years old or so. But with subsequent years, it was obvious that the information on the topic was growing at a very large rate. So I decided to look into government documents. In the late 70s, I had heard that there was a new revision of a law called the Freedom of Information Act that allowed average citizens to request documents from the government. And I found that astonishing, because you could peek into what was going on behind the scenes with the military and with the intelligence agencies and the government in general. The one, I think it was the first FOIA request, I'll call it, that I had filed was actually based on an article in the National Enquirer, which discussed these events over the northern tier of the U.S. with the border with Canada, involving strange overflights of military bases. And they provided a list of the locations. Now, even then, I knew the Enquirer tended to be a little bit unreliable, needless to say. I remember the stories about man feeds son to pigs in the earlier years. So,
and that was one of the lesser articles.
That was, yeah. I just used it because I happened to see that article at the point I had learned about the FOIA, and I filed. I sent a FOIA request the way it was supposed to be done to the Air Force at the Pentagon. I expected to get a fact sheet or something back, nothing big, and a denial on it. But instead, I received a packet of information, which were an assortment of documents related to raw intelligence on these overflights of the bases. I couldn't believe it. I'm saying, I don't know what I said in my request to prompt that kind of a response with seemingly sensitive information. And some of them were classified top secret. They were declassified specifically for me.
You got to think here, in retrospect, how special that must have been. Or maybe somebody over there in authority took pity on you or screwed up.
I don't know. I don't know what the reason was, but I sure know that some of the other folks who were filing FOIA requests at the time, including the organization CAUSE, Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, they had not been able to unearth its kind of information. And when I informed them of it, I received a response from the head of it, Todd Zeckel, and he said he couldn't believe that that was released that way. He had virtually filed identical FOIA requests to what I was asking for and wasn't given anything.
Now, we have a guest this week, someone that I've known about for many, many years. But for some reason, with all the time we've done the PowerCast, we have never had him on the show.
Barry sure. Greenwood joining us with Gene and our special guest co-host, Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I'll tell you, names from the past, Todd Zeckel. I remember him. Oh, sure do.
Right.
Okay, so you got in touch with Todd Zeckel. And Todd Zeckel, working with Cause, had tried to do what you tried to do,
which was to get answers to freedom of information requests from the government on UFOs, hadn't done so well, but you had the magic bullet. What did you do right?
I don't know. I can't explain why. The request was pretty straightforward, just listing the names of the bases where there were allegations of strange vehicles, not merely unknown objects. Sometimes the personnel at these bases reported strange helicopters or what looked like helicopters flying about and violating sensitive airspace over nuclear bomb storage sites and missile silos. And the reports were quite vivid in the telexes that we had received subsequently based upon what was first given to me in those old DDO talkers that they had sent out at first. So we're putting together a pretty comprehensive story based on that and later FOIA requests to different agencies about this. It covered multiple agencies because it was such a security violation that it involved the FBI and CIA and other organizations as to what was going on. I had informed Zeckel about it because I had recently joined CAUSE, given that they were looking for government UFO documents. I wanted to get some pointers and guidelines on going about that. I had sent that out, and that was a springboard for other requests, not just about the overflights in 1975, but with other documents about the subject and other agencies. And that mushroomed in a pretty big way. So I think we had collected up to about 1983 or so some 4,000 pages of files from at least a dozen different agencies. And I had been put in touch with other folks, including a longtime friend. He's no longer with us now, but that was Robert Todd, who was one of the most skilled people at filing FOIA requests on UFO reports that I had ever met.
You know what? I knew him, too. What a small world this was.
Yeah. Well, Todd was very, very active doing this. He must have sent half a dozen letters every day for a long period of time. He had tremendous files, and he had built up so much that periodically he had to purge them and send them off to people. And when he did his first purge of what he had collected between about 1976 and 1980, he sent some to me. He sent some to Ray Fowler, who's a well-known UFO investigator, and some to the Center for UFO Studies, which Alan Hynek had started in 1973. So between the three of us, we had some of Todd's early work, and believe me, I learned from what he had done and adjusted my requesting to be more focused and to try to target things specifically. No longer was I going to accept that everything is a Project Blue Book and they have nothing else, because that was proven dead wrong from the very first time I had filed FOIAs. So we knew the government wasn't being straight in talking about this, and that eventually led to me and a co-author, Lawrence Fawcett, putting together a manuscript called Clear Intent, and that was to be the first assessment of the 1975 overflights and all of the other documents that were coming in at the time. And we weren't done. We kept the ball rolling on that, and over later years, many, many more documents surfaced, documents, microfilms. It was just an amazing amount of data that most people didn't realize still existed.
And the title of your book, didn't that come from one of those 75 documents?
Yeah, that was it was a comment made at Loring Air Force Base by one of the witnesses saying that the object overflying their nuclear bomb silos, their huts, rather, demonstrated a clear intent. And that quote was, I thought, pretty impressive, because it doesn't argue for mirages or stars and planets, whatever was there was demonstrating some kind of a directed intelligence.
Well, that's remarkable that you got those documents, you know, not decades later. I mean, this was what, was it the same year or, you know, a couple within the event?
It was several years after 75. I mean, I had heard that something was going on, at least in northern Maine, because I had a clipping service that had started in 1974 on UFOs, and I wanted to see, in general, what was going on across New England. It was limited to New England, yet you had to pay pretty stiff fees for clipping services. So it was confined to my area, and 1 week I started getting clips about sightings in extreme northern Maine around Caribou, and it told of strange lights being seen, but there was no real allusion to the base at the time, the military base, the Loring, and that was one of the main bases listed in the original reporting that had experienced strange overflights. So I knew something had happened, but I wasn't clear that the base was involved until a couple of years later when I saw that Inquirer article. And it surprised me, and the documents that were unearthed just on that incident alone were very revealing. It showed that something was invading the base, doing what it wanted to do. The commander of the base wanted to shine a searchlight on it to get a clearer view, but he was afraid to do that because he didn't want to blind the pilot and cause them to crash into one of the bomb silos. So he didn't do that, and the object persisted for a period of time until aircraft were sent to intercept, and the object took off and headed for the Canadian border and outran their pursuit aircraft. And I don't know whatever happened when it went over the Canadian border. There's no accounting from Canada that I know of on what happened after it crossed. So it's still a mystery where that thing ended up. And it's a mystery too with the whole overflight period, because it seems that there was no final report on the series of incidents. It covered 3 weeks and involved Wurtsmith Air Force Base in Michigan, Minot, North Dakota, Malmstrom in Montana. It was clear across the country.
Yeah, Barry Green was joining us this week. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's highest court opens a new term on Monday, and this comes as the justices seem to be increasingly frustrated with each other and the news media and the expectations placed on the court. CNN judicial analyst Ariane DeVogue says it all comes at a really interesting time with that term starting on Monday.
On the heels of the court dividing bitterly and allowing that Texas law to go into effect.
Referring there to the Supreme Court's inaction to stop a very restrictive abortion law in Texas, he's now known as the GOAT, the greatest of all time, because of his performance over 20 years in New England, and today, for the first time since going to the Tampa Bay Bucks and immediately leading them to a world championship, Tom Brady visits New England and Gillette Stadium to face the Patriots. And this is USA Radio News. Alex Jones, the Texas man who runs the website InfoWars, is going to have to pay up after claiming that the 2012 Sandy Hook school shootings in Connecticut were all a big hoax. Jones was found legally responsible in two lawsuits, and the lawyer for victims says,
finally, there's some accountability standard that he's now going to have to answer to.
Attorney Bill Ogden saying he's never seen a case play out quite like this, as Jones, who lives in Austin, didn't comply with court orders to provide information for the lawsuits, meaning he lost the cases by default. A jury will determine how much he owes. 20 kids were killed in that shooting, along with six other people. California school students 12 years of age and older are now being required to get vaccinated against COVID-19, although Governor Gavin Newsom says the mandate won't really take effect until the FDA has fully approved the COVID-19 vaccine for ages 12 and up, which could happen as early November. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners. Lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Barry Greenwood joining us first time on the Paracast, I know it won't be his last. At least I hope it doesn't, because he has so much good stuff to tell us. And he's talking about his earliest days in the field, about the involvement with citizens against UFO secrecy, which sounds to me, in retrospect, as kind of a lobbying organization.
Yeah, I would say that.
Not quite as upfront as like a Stephen Bassett.
Right, right. No, they did. I don't think they had the resources to do that kind of work at the time, but I think it was constituted mainly to file FOIAs, get the results, and report them through a newsletter, which was called Just Cause. That went on for, I think, about 3 years or so, and then there were financial problems, and and Todd Zeckel dropped out for unclear reasons, and the rest of the publication was picked up by Larry Bryant of Washington, D.C., who was a longtime researcher, too. But he kept that going for 2 years. He had to quit as well. So there was a period of time when Cause wasn't doing anything. It was dormant, essentially. And when I was thinking about doing a book with Larry Fawcett, Peter Gersten gave me the idea to do it. He wanted to do it first. He was a lawyer that had filed lawsuits against the CIA and National Security Agency around 1979, 1980 or so. He had successfully extracted many pages of documents, which were helpful to us. He wanted to do a book. He didn't have time. in his career. So he asked Larry first, who was a friend of his in Connecticut, Larry Fawcett, if he wanted to do a book. And Larry, I had met Larry at an old Mass MUFON meeting that we had around that time, and I spoke about government documents, needless to say, because that's what I was doing, filing FOIAs at the time, and Larry was fascinated with it, so he wanted to get together and do something, and he said, well, Peter was going to do a book, and he couldn't, so you want to do a book? And I said, well, yeah, how do you do a book? I'd never written a book before. He contacted a literary agent, John White, and told him, you know, I'm going to put something together. And I asked John, you know, how do you approach a publisher about something like this? And he had sent a proposal, which is the first thing anyone does before even writing a book, a proposal to pick up this work, this topic, and publish it eventually. In that case, he sent me something on the Shroud of Turin, but it gave me the outline on how you prepare a proposal. So I just applied the UFO overflights and documents we had gathered to that model and wrote it up and sent it in. And I think the first publisher he approached picked it up right away, Simon & Schuster. So that's how Clear Intent came about. And then they told me, okay, you have a contract now. Now you have to write a book. I said, okay, here we go. It took me about 7 months, and I think I wrote the last chapter in a day. I was up against a deadline, and I just sat down one morning and worked it through to that evening, and it was all done, sent it in, and about 6 months later, the book was done.
You know, when you talk about this rushing at the end of the deadline to get chapters out, I used to write what we call production line books on technology for a lot of these same publishers, and they'd want me to do like a full 500-page book in 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm.
And in the 1,000-page book, you're lucky if you got 2 months.
Wow. That's a tall order. I mean, especially since I hadn't done a book before. I couldn't imagine doing that, but it ended up, I sent a 400-page manuscript in at the end of the time, so it worked out fine. I mean, very, very minor corrections to it, and it had a pretty good impact, I thought.
Oh, yeah, it did, and I think it's very influential, and it's still worth, despite the fact that some of the approaches are a little dated, it's still worth reading today. I noticed the NICAP site has it listed in their collection of books that you can read online. So
yeah,
it is still available, although I personally think it would be worth you updating. But I wanted to say, we mentioned some groups here, QFOS and CAUSE. Most of those are not still around, at least not in their original form. You've seen a lot of things come and go and a lot of changes in the organizations. Could you talk a little bit about that, about what they have, what's been lost, what's being recovered?
Yeah, there have been a lot of changes over the years. That's inevitable with organizations that they spring up. They expect to have fair funding by selling books and periodicals and all, but that's really not the case anymore. The books and periodicals are not exactly the main way to get information now. It's the internet. And because of that, I think the organizations lost their main source of income. And what do they sell if they can't sell books and periodicals? So, one by one, I think they went under or adjusted to the times. CAUSE no longer exists. That went out, around the year 2000, 2001 or so.
I noticed, by the way, that one of your board members was Chris O'Brien. He was listed as
well,
on
from
the
what
site.
Time frame? From
what time frame? Probably towards the latter years. This is before you started writing those books on the Mysterious Valley.
Okay, the latter years. I had resigned in 1998 we really didn't have a big structure. I'll have to explain. After 1982, when it went dormant, and I asked Peter about doing a newsletter, because when we started writing the manuscript for Clear Intent, I felt there was a need to update that. And this was pre-internet, so there was no computer or anything to report on new events. So I thought a newsletter would be good, and I revived Just Cause in 84. And I kept that going for, let me see, 14 years or so, until 1998. And then there was a little bit of a kerfuffle with Peter Gersten at the time, and I don't know, for what some reason he wanted to step in and take the organization over after we'd been working on it, Larry and myself and a group of assistants. But he had informed me that he just wanted to use the name Cause to file some FOIA requests. And I said, well, it was basically his organization, at first. He had filed, to register it in the state of Delaware. So Peter had the name, and I said, you don't have to ask me for the name. You just, go ahead and start filing. Now, I didn't know exactly what it was going to do. My impression was he was just going to send some requests in using a letterhead. But as it turned out, I noticed some officials starting to appear out of nowhere that Peter was appointing to Cause. And it surprised me. I didn't expect that, because myself and Larry had been doing the newsletter and not much interference or anything from outside. But now there were these officials being installed above what Larry and I were doing.
Well, and now we're getting into UFO group politics, and I wanted to ask a question or two about that, not delve too long into it. Barry Greenwood is joining us for the first time on the show. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tahiti.
Tebow Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Barry Greenwood, I assume then when I mention a name or two like Chris O'Brien, who, by the way, was the co-host of this show for a period of about 10 years, that this happened when you weren't really directly involved. Now, I had some interactions with Peter Gersten in the early 2000s, and he is definitely kind of an unusual character.
Yeah, he became a woo-woo guy.
You could say that, yes. I think at one time, seriously, he was talking about offing himself.
Yes, there was a there was an incident. Oh, I can't remember exactly when, but he was talking about, he lived, I think, in Sedona, Arizona, and he was talking about going up in a mountain and jumping into a vortex. And people were saying, what the hell is he talking about? He felt that they could see a vortex in the sky, and he was going to jump in and enlighten himself on whatever he learned from going in there. And he was roundly made fun of when that hit the press. I remember Chelsea Handler on her talk show ridiculed him openly on TV. And, you know, I'm doing a facepalm watching that, because here's the organization I tried to make credible for years before, and Peter was essentially ruining it. I think the outcome was that Peter decided not to go because there was supposed to have been a police presence there to prevent him from doing it. And I don't know if he even believed what he was saying anyway. It may have been a publicity stunt, but that really tainted him from that point on.
Is he even still alive?
As far as I know, yeah. I think the last I heard, he was doing guided tours of the wild out there, having people coming along with him. He had a bevy of photos of him with lots of women doing paid tours, and he was able to lead them around there.
His personality was very different from yours. I mean, you're about the research and the credible evidence. And I got the feeling that he was a bit more of a performer and showman, like a number of ufologists are.
Yeah, Peter, I think originally when I first heard of him, he was associated with the Watergate scandal. He was a lawyer in a firm with other lawyers that were representing Watergate people. And I don't know exactly what his role was in that, but later on he took an interest in the government documents coming out and decided to do pro bono work with, Ground Saucer Watch at one point, and Cause as well, Cause in the Todd Zeckel rendition. So he made a name for himself by winning somewhat those lawsuits. He extracted something like 900 pages from the CIA and a much smaller amount from the NSA, but at that time to get anything from the NSA at all was an accomplishment.
Now, these days, John Greenwald apparently has earned the moniker being, what, the chief FOIA request person?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. He has the black vault, and it's loaded with all the old documents and a lot newer things that he had extracted himself, along with others. So, yeah, he's the new face of FOIA. I had found that the FOIA became very cumbersome over time, with succeeding administrations changing the law constantly, to the point that I found requests taking months or even years to fulfill. And the law was allowing them to do that. And I was getting older, and I didn't want to spend my later time waiting and waiting and waiting on requests to be fulfilled, only to find maybe some of them weren't a big deal. One of the things that I would love to have found eventually was a document from 1948 called the Estimate of the Situation, which was an Air Force draft document that was sent up through channels during that year, essentially admitting that UFOs were some sort of strange space vehicles. I had a friend who contacted Dewey Fournet, who was one of the people who had seen that report, one of the few, along with Edward Ruppelt, who was the head of Project Blue Book between 1951 and 53. And since Fournet had seen the document, I contacted my friend and told him, you know, ask him about that, see what he says. And he answered. He remembered the document and all, as the story went. Fournet was in charge of the current intelligence branch at the Pentagon for the Air Force. And Ruppelt came in one day to talk to him about the connections between the Pentagon and Dayton, where Project Blue Book was. And at one point, Fournet pulled a copy of the estimate out of a file drawer, and he showed it to Ruppelt, which I suppose is the source of Ruppelt's reporting in his 1956 book, Report on Unidentified Flying Objects. And he described it in some detail. There's the published version is shorter than the manuscript version. I've seen the manuscript of that book, and it goes into much more detail about it. But he saw it. He had to give it back to Fournet, and Fournet put it in the file drawer. And that's the last I think anyone can pinpoint that document as being anywhere. And I discovered in later years that those particular files were amongst a group of 600 boxes of still classified information. You couldn't access them. So it made it difficult to try to determine if the document was there. I think it would have taken just random finger flipping of file folders to find out if it was there at all. But now we have COVID and the COVID restrictions on doing research at these facilities, and it's made it even harder to get at that information. So anyway, that's what the estimate was, and we're still looking. I'm convinced it exists. It's just a matter of finding it in a gigantic pile of paper.
Maybe in Warehouse 13.
Whatever they call it down there, I'll go look if they let me in. It's hard to tell. It's likely at what they call Archives 2. in Suitland, Maryland. It's a place where files are sent as sort of a limbo between coming from the military and for public exposure at the main archives. It takes all of these overflow files and just piles them up, much like Indiana Jones warehouse, where they put the Ark of the Covenant in this facility, where it's just going to disappear totally amongst a bunch of wooden boxes.
That's where I think the idea of Warehouse 13, the TV show, came from, a place where strange artifacts are being stored.
Yeah, yeah. The UFO things are probably much more scattered than that, but they're around if I think one looks hard enough and looks in the right place.
Raises the big question I wonder about, and especially in light of the current Pentagon UAP task force, and that is, if the government is taking this thing seriously, wouldn't they have a restricted area where they keep this evidence so they can refer to it, so they can use it? If it's thrown all over the place, it would indicate apparently that they didn't take it so seriously.
I think if you look at the recent task force report and how they discuss their inquiry into this, there's almost a peculiar disdain for history. They start their investigation in 2004 up until current events.
Sure.
And repeatedly I had heard individuals talk about years prior to that as not of interest to them, which amazed me, but that's what they had said. Louis Elizondo, for example, had said that back in 2017. He didn't want to consult history.
Well, he's writing a book on it now, so maybe he's going to have to change his tune. We're going to have to see. We've got a lot more to talk about with Barry Greenwood. As mentioned, of course, his involvement with Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, one of the early UFO-oriented lobby groups, and I guess we can call NICAP, the organization that Major Keogh headed, also kind of a UFO lobbying group. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.